like about an inch and a half.
It's the professional service agreement.
We have adjourned from executive session, and we've come back into regular session for the Taney County Commission. First order of business was postponed to the definite time of 10:50, was the bridge replacement on the Pro Tem Cedar Creek Road.
I move that we accept accept the professional services agreement for the bridge replacement project on Cedar Creek Road.
Did you make that motion?
I did.
I second it.
The motion's been made and seconded to approve the professional services agreement regarding bridge replacement on the Pro Tem Cedar Creek Road. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries.
On the CenturyLink maintenance agreement, I'm not ready to vote on it. I have some other questions. What I'm going to do is, if it's all right with you, gentlemen, to go back to internally to get some specifics on the contract and then reroute it back to CenturyLink for them to consider some changes and then have them represent it to us.
Are you going to reschedule according to dates?
According to when I get the feed information back. I know that our timeline is short because it expired on the 30th of June. So what I'll do is I'll move as fast as I can get the information back and I'll repost at the proper time.
Are you going to make a motion to do that or just not do anything?
Just not do anything, okay. and I'll run with that one.
All right.
Okay.
So let the record show that no decision is made today on the CenturyLink maintenance agreement.
Right.
And that you will repost that at a future date.
Yep, that's correct.
For discussion.
That's that. You want me to sign? Is there one more in there? Oh, stop looking.
You got it.
I had it.
Randy, could you come up here? You need my signature on here, correct? Three times? Four times?
Should be four copies.
Down here.
So we're broadcasting, right? All right.
It's going to be
some of the paperwork part of this thing here. There. Right there.
No. Right above your name each time.
Okay. All right.
Donna, we're going to have you attest to these when that time arises, but I'd like to pass that on to you through Randy here in just a moment. And I think Rick's attestation also, there's four places, Jim.
I've got three of them found, but I haven't found the fourth.
One more tab.
Is there another tab underneath that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, right there underneath that.
Okay, I got a couple questions. This real fast.
Right above your name.
Right here, okay.
No.
That one. That all of them?
Castle Rock, CID, Daryl. I think we're pretty close to being right on schedule. You can pull that little microphone. I believe it's live right there if you like.
That one's not live. You pulled the one off the counter there. That. The one that's...
Wait. That one? No, the one's... No, the one that, there you go.
There you go.
Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning.
Daryl, two or three quick questions for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Or do you have some comments you want to make up front?
No, I trust you gentlemen received the information I sent of the changes.
We have been through those, and I appreciate... the information that you have furnished us and the fact that you have met with elected officials in the courthouse, we're in receipt of an order of the County Commission of Taney County, Missouri, authorizing and creating Castle Rock Community Improvement District as a political subdivision of the state of Missouri and appoint the directors of said district as provided in Missouri Revised Statute Section 67.1401 through 67.1571. We do have and have met with counsel in executive session just a few moments ago, and this is one of the issues that we discussed was the contract itself, an agreement. And we have some points that we wish you would sit with our counsel, who's here in the front of the room, and I think you've talked with Mr. Cotty, and, regarding thoughts that we have still yet about the paperwork that you submitted.
Okay.
Some of it's very simple in nature, verbiage, and a couple of things will pertain to what we feel might be better language for the bridge.
Okay.
And again, simple things. For example, where it says Western, Eastern Commissioner, technically it should say Commissioner District Number 1, Commissioner District 2. No big change, but definitely some issues that we feel or would ask that you sit down with counsel.
Sure.
And I don't know if that's a thing that we can do now or we need to set an appointment for. Frank, are you available to sit with Mr. Gross and chat about these things?
Sure.
Do that and take care of business.
Let me ask Jim and Dan, is that something that we're going to have time to bring back up before we adjourn today and go into Board of Equalization? I mean, it's possible.
Technically, we don't start BOE until 1 p.m.
Yes.
And so if they can get all the resolution before 1 o'clock, we could
meet prior to.
Right. I mean, some of the concerns that I've got with the contract, if we can clean it up from a legal perspective,
you bet.
I'm comfortable with the foreman of the CID. But once again, it's a matter of make sure all the paperwork is taken care of.
Sounds good. I can do that. Frank's got that.
And if it's possible, if it's not possible, then you guys can make that determination and we can just reschedule for a vote once the documents are correct.
One question. Mm-hmm. The disclosure to buyer, is this something that happens at closing or is it something that happens at time of sale?
Time of sale. And it's recorded the way I've got it, where it is recorded and required to be recorded on each transaction from the current seller's clear on down. So if I buy a piece of property, I have to disclose to the next person the same.
Do you have clean copies of these documents with you? If not, I can certainly print them off because I've got it by email. You do, Donna?
Donna has it on a computer. Yeah.
One of the questions I have about that document, though, is my concern is it's at closing, you're swamped with a bunch of papers, and I'm real concerned that it gets lost. I mean, I know legally every CID has to disclose it at closing.
Right.
The problem is I'm putting my BOE hat on, but I can't tell how many people came before us last week and said, I didn't see it in there. And I was, it was a small little paragraph.
On page 33.
Yeah, and it was just horrible. My hope with that statement when I was supporting that is it was be disclosed when you made the offer. Part of the original disclosing agreement when you're making the offer. Because at that point, you're doing your discovery.
Sure.
And you're trying to research what's your sewer rate going to be,
right,
and utilities and all those things. And that's when people are doing their due diligence. And that's when that information, I believe, needs to come out versus at closing, because otherwise it's too much going on at closing. So that was my hope, is that we could tie it to the offer part.
Sure. We can do that.
If we could have you meet with council. What room could we have the meet in, too, by the way? In that little conference room we have upstairs?
Upstairs we could do it. I mean, I think Donna has a conference room that may not be too full of boxes.
There's a few mats on it that you can use.
Yes, we have a couple.
It couldn't be as crowded as when I was county assessor in that little office I had. It was
I remember that big office.
Oh, yeah, the corner of the Sheila's office.
If we could have you do that, we will. Gentlemen, can I have a motion to postpone to a definite time to reconsider this?
Mr. Hausman, before you make that motion, if you could, I have some issues to bring up about the sit.
I think there was a gentleman here, too, about it.
I have information you requested also.
You'd asked us, we both received requests to come to this hearing to discuss these issues today.
Well, where I was headed was to put the hearing off, but if there's no objection from the commissioners now, I'll be glad to do it now.
Sure.
I'm fine with it. Before we would make a decision at 12:50, I'd like to hear from them.
Absolutely, then. Well, I would have backed that time up, too. Donna, would you like to start?
Well, putting my BOE hat on as well, I've learned a lot about SIDS recently and have sent several emails to the state to get more information. While I understand this is a powerful tool for the developer, we are finding that taxpayers are paying the burden for the construction in a SID, and that's occurring in multiple ways. One, if there is nothing put into the ordinance requiring elections of the SID, there is no way for a taxpayer within the SID to request any relief. In other words, once the decision is made by the current board, there's no elections for new board members, so any decisions they make on the amount of the SID is what occurs. The second thing is, I've learned that Tenney County, whether that's ever been approved by the Board of Equalization or by the commissioners, the assessor is discounting the assessed valuation for developers in Tenney County. This SID itself is based on, partially, one part of it is based on 4% of the assessed valuation. If one property owner is assessed at even 50% less than a private citizen, then that private citizen is paying more of the SID cost than that particular property owner. I see that as unfair taxation. I also see that there is no election allowing the current property owners to vote on board members or to be heard. Then this is unfair taxation, taxation without representation. So those are some real concerns that I have, and if that language is not added before the commission approves or denies, it goes away. You have no more control after that point. So I would strongly urge that we at least give the citizens out there fair representation and fair assessed valuation between all property owners. Once they have the SID, they already are getting basically a tax break. They can file their taxes and get a refund based on the amount of taxes they're paying. I mean, I'm assuming that it's just like the taxes that we pay. We can turn that in, and it reduces the amount of taxes that we have to pay. So the SID dollars that they're paying in taxation, they will also reduce the taxes that they have to pay the federal government and state government. So those are some concerns I have.
Would you like to address those, Darrell?
Well, the process for the SID is the same as any other, like on the real estate tax. They will have to hold their annual meeting to set the levy each and every year. It has to be a public meeting, just like the school districts, just like the county or anyone else when they set their levy. And so it has to be a posted public meeting. The board then would set after hearing comments, and has to be posted within the district and advertised. They're going to get a hearing process throughout the time period that the real estate tax will be imposed. As far as the assessment and the assessor, I was an assessor. You assess the property as no prejudicial to whether it's in a CID or not. You assess the property. So I'm not sure how that applies. The election process for the CID board, state law allows where you can request in the petition the appointment of the board by the presiding commissioner, confirmed by the other commissioners, from the pool of eligible people or property owners. As more and more property owners come into the district, then the pool of potential board members become bigger for the commission to appoint. The reason that we went with the appointment rather than the election, you have to go through and file with the county clerk and hold an election and everything else. Process is a little cumbersome for a small group, particularly in the beginning. 20 years from now, and there's 200 people that may be living out there, maybe a little different situation. But dealing with it today, it seems to be the most prudent manner. But they still have the process, if they want to be appointed to the board, they can petition the presiding commissioner to appoint. If I own property, I'm eligible to serve on the board when the appointments come up because the board members serve for a four-year term.
Did I understand that that could switch over from the appointment to the elections process?
It could be modified by petition. Property owners could come back and say, hey, we want to change that now. And it takes a majority of the property owners to come back and petition to change it and say, hey, we want to go from an appointment to an election.
Is that a one-on-one? For example, somebody owns 1,500 acres and somebody owns one. They each have one vote?
Well, it ties with assessed value. It has to be 51% of the assessed value plus 51% of the numeric property owners. So if I own the majority of the property and had the biggest assessed value, it would take my vote in the beginning or my signature on the petition to be valid. But once that equal out and say there was 20 or 30 or 40 homes out there, then that could change very rapidly. Because raw land, it's not assessed very high. Anyway.
Gotcha. But then the elections process is going to be sometime in the future before that would become available. The question of taxation without representation, this is provided for under Missouri law.
Correct.
And so the statutes govern what can and cannot be done and how this is to be formed and the actions, at least in the paperwork that you've provided us, all fall within Missouri law. Okay.
Right. And particularly with the disclosure process that we're going through or proposed to go through, whether it's closing or at time of sale, anyone that futuristically buys into this particular development and buys property is going to know that there's an added tax being imposed and who the board members are and the process. So, I mean, they're going to buyer beware, I guess, would be my point.
Well, as Donna has sat with us here in the Board of Equalization and as Jim has already attested to, there are an awful lot of people that fall within the area where there is a SID that for whatever reason had no idea that there was going to be an assessment, which is obviously a healthy assessment. So it's something that many of these people are displeased with, something that the Board of Equalization can do nothing about as far as what they're charging in their assessments. Now, we have the determination of what we can do with valuation of property that falls out there, but it's... Which is why we've been so careful about this and why we're...
And I wholeheartedly support the public disclosure that, you know, whoever buys needs to understand, because it's not healthy for the developer and certainly not for the county to have disgruntled people that didn't understand what was happening. And I'm a firm believer, some with a lot of real CIDs I've done within retail, I stress to my clients that you have to disclose to the prospective business that he's going to have an extra 1 cent tax that he's going to have to collect and charge. He may put him at a competitive disadvantage, but that'll be his decision. And, you know, it works to pay. I had one client didn't do that, and it totally blew up on him. And as a result, he didn't get his CID. When he got it, we had to repeal it because his tenant threatened to move out. And it's not the way to do business.
Donna, do you have further?
I do. You said that the commission would appoint the board members. I see nothing in statute that says that's an annual appointment, that's renewed every so many years.
Yeah.
And because if that would be the case, then the commission could appoint another taxpayer.
I believe if you'll look under the statute where it talks about under the petition, it says it can be either by the appointment of the board members, can either be by appointment or by election, and that's governed by the petition. I don't have the statutes in front of me, but it says in there that the term for appointment, there's three members appointed for a 2-year term and two for a 4-year term. And as those terms expire, they have to be reappointed only by the county presiding commissioner and affirmed by the other commission.
Sometimes I have to read something 2 or 3 times. I'm a little slow. On the document that you sent to us, you said the judgment of the commission, such control is not deemed to be prudent for the commission and would not allow the presiding commissioner perform the statutory duty to select from all qualified persons to serve on the board of directors. What do you mean by that?
We had the original petition I disclosed to the commission. There's a section in there under...
Let me address that if I could, Darrell. At the last time we met, I brought that up to Mr. Gross, and we found that to be in conflict with what another section established, and you took that out.
Correct.
Yeah, but go ahead. That's... The
gentleman that is doing the development, concerned about futuristically others being in control when he's putting all the money and he's doing all the work. There is a provision within the CID appointment provision, the petition can set up such other qualifications as they deem necessary. And under that, he took a little bit of a literary license, which I told him I didn't support, which was saying that only he could submit nominees to the county commission. I find that in conflict because that's trying to control the presiding commissioner's choice of whoever's qualified. The gentleman can submit his nominees, and the presiding commissioner can ignore them or not, up to him. But he still stuck to a point, qualified voters, as you may, either property owner or registered voters that live within the district, and they got to be 18 years old. I find that, you know, in conflict, you can't dictate to a political body what you can or can't do.
But we have nothing in here that says they have to be 18, is that right?
State statutes say that.
Okay. So when you said that once you were an assessor,
and it says so in there and under 7, yeah. There's three, he had three qualifications. One is at least 18 years of age, which is state statute. And B, state statute, or two, is an owner of property or a registered voter in the district. He added three, and that's one we took out, which was him creating a list of nominees.
Darrell, if I understood you earlier, when we were talking about the assessed valuation, mm-hmm. when you were an assessor, did you ever discount the property for developers, or
no.
were they they received the same assessment for developers as well as
no law and statutes that allow assessor to do that.
The statutes do not allow the assessor to do that?
His job or her job is to assess the property at fair market value as, you know, he sees fit. That's the problem you always get into, is what the assessor sees versus someone else. The only ability to discount property is going through a formal tax abatement. And you don't discount the value, you just abate the taxes. But that goes through a completely different statutory process that have to be approved by the county commission.
Well, I guess I just want to express for the citizens that have come before the Cheney County Board of Equalization, a lot of them are paying as much or even more than they would be paying to the other political subdivisions in Cheney County. And setting this at $1 per every $100 of assessed valuation, even if it's a $10,000 lot, you've got that amount, plus you have 4% of the assessed valuation on top of that. So that can easily be at the skipped back to that same rate that we're looking at for these other people that are considering bankruptcy now, because they can't pay both the taxes to the other political subdivisions, which include many, you know, school districts, fire districts, ambulance districts, so on and so forth. All of those districts are receiving oftentimes even a lesser value than the SID is. And according to the lady we heard the other day, her paperwork said that they estimate the SID value to be at $320, and she's paying $1,400. So you can see that these citizens have a huge burden, and I see no controls here to keep that from happening again.
She might want to visit with her attorney if they give her an estimate of that number, and it was a $1,400. But
they've already done that.
That's all I can say.
The one difference is, and I think it was you that brought this up, Donna, was if there was a disclaimer that was put out front that was reduced, and some of us added that, to one page in simple form so that those who were purchasing or were getting involved within this political subdivision would know out front that there was going to be. And I think that was prompted because we've had this other SID within the county where there are a lot of property owners who are very dissatisfied and who didn't know. And I honestly believe they didn't know. They didn't read far enough over into the multi-page agreement at closing that set that out. So that is at least one concession that's been made, which I appreciate.
I would be even willing to go farther. I just don't know how you administer it, but, you know, if I borrow a vacant lot, the CID tax isn't going to amount to a whole lot of money. We'd all agree on that. if I bought a lot. I've gotten my disclosure. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention because it was 50, 100 bucks or 200, whatever it might be. But I go build a house and pull a building permit. Now it starts showing up. I mean, we'd even be happy to require to do one when they pull a building permit. Of course, the CID board's not going to know when they do or do not. But
would your developer be willing to have the SID apply only to the value of the land and not to the value of the improvements?
No, I mean, it wouldn't be generate enough money, if that's the point. But, I mean, I would firmly like to see a process myself to where before I went out and built a $250,000 home that I know what my SID tax. If I'm prudent, I'm going to figure that myself, but people don't do that, you know. They're going to build a house and they don't pay attention to the tax bill.
Well, even if they were to look at the assessed valuation prior to building the house, if our process that we currently have where developers have a much less assessed valuation than a private property owner, we've seen as much as $1,790 assessed valuation 1 year when it was bought by a private citizen. Then it increased to sometimes $15,000. So if you were to do your calculations based on that $1,790, and then you turn around and it's assessed much higher next year, then you wouldn't get a fair representation then.
Well, you're talking to a person who certainly believes property taxes is probably the most unfair and most expensive form of taxation there is. There's just no way to properly do it the way it's done. You do the, I mean, the people are in office, and my hat's off to James or anyone sits in the spot or Sheila. It's a tough job.
Mr. Gross, if I may, I was asked to find out programming cost and so forth, and to what it would include. And unfortunately, right now we're in a transition period. But I understand in the agreement, I didn't realize this was agreement. I didn't realize the commission had pretty much already approved this, or I wouldn't have probably spent as much time on my information. You will pay for all the program costs when it comes. That will not happen this year. I can't see it.
No, there wouldn't be.
No. Hopefully next year. But it would affect, due to the way this SID is written, it's different than all of the others, and it would affect all phases of the program. Totally different thought. I have a request on that I'll put here at the bottom, and of course what I was asked for cost for the county, and anytime you add more duties to right now I do all the SIDs. As they're growing, I'm going to try to train some employees, and you take employee time. Anytime we continue to add more duties, eventually we're going to have to go to the commission for more employees, which they would prefer we had less employees. But these are points for the county and are the people within the county. If the owners within the complex, if the SID district was developed, Community Improvement District, if they decide, those owners that have it now titled Castle Rock LLC, if they deed their property to Castle Rock Community Improvement District, then it would be an exempt print from taxes, and our schools and all the other entities then would not receive any fees, any taxes from that entity.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yes. And so that would be a due hardship on all of those involved.
Would you state that again, Sheila?
Yeah, please.
If Castle Rock now, as the deeds are titled Castle Rock LLC, all they have to do is they deed the property to Castle Rock Community Improvement District, then it becomes an exempt property. And being so, because it's a political subdivision, if you guys approve this, and totally you three gentlemen, if you approve it, it becomes a political subdivision. They're not taxable. So the schools and those that now receive a little tax, and I'll discuss that in a minute, they would no longer receiving tax.
Now, would that be the properties that have not been sold, or?
Be how the deed reads. If they now, of course it wouldn't be, if they sell it to you, it's going to be in your name. If they own property now, 1,000 acres, whatever it be, if they own property that is deeded, if they deed the deed, Castle Rock Community Improvement District is an exempt parcel. Next thing is And I understand, like I say, I did not realize that you guys had already approved all this, and this was through the, I guess I didn't read that good enough then.
Not approved yet.
It sounds like it is, but maybe it's not. Okay.
Correct.
When the Castle Rock was authorized to develop the 1,084 acres into a single-family residential subdivision, the one condition was that they must meet and agree with the County Commission for the construction of a bridge before the final plat is recorded. And I think maybe that's what is discussed here. And I didn't realize that the commission had discussed the bridge and everything. And my point, and what you sent was that the bridge, the engineering firm said it was $1,050,425 at that time.
Right.
And that Castle Rock would cover 50%. And of course, there's talk of hope of a grant or anything, but we can all, that's still the people's
Great.
Money. And then this would be done in order for Castle Rock to develop according to the agreement. At the present time, I have 11 parcels for Castle Rock subdivision, and they must be advertised in the newspaper this Friday due to the fact that they're presently scheduled to be on my collector's tax sale. And then after leaving this meeting, I must immediately take three of those parcels to a surveyor to get a legal description written, and the county will be at out that expense, and that costs several hundred dollars. If this land were in the CID district, the collector would find it necessary to pull these parcels from the tax sale, and the collection process would have to go through the judicial system. And if this is done, that is much more costly. I think we've got some attorneys here somewhere, and you can understand the added amount to that. Okay, then if we're dealing with owners from another country, the cost increase. To do this, the whole process is different. And those are kind of serious points right there.
Go ahead, Darrell.
Okay. First off, if the development transferred property to the Castle Hollow, for example, into the CID, two things happen. One, be in violation of state law. There's no function or capacity for a CID to be a land holding company. Can't do it under state law. Secondly, it would defeat the purpose of the CID because it had no tax. Then what good would you have to have a property tax to be imposed?
Be only your unsold land that's still in Castle Rock's name.
Can't if do that by state law.
We
There's
have
only
some.
Certain powers the CID has. I mean, it can build public improvements. You know, it can market the area in terms of bringing people in, making public improvements. There's quite a list in the state statutes, but none of it is to be a private developer or a land holding company. That becomes a private purpose. It's a political subdivision, just like the county couldn't take and buy up a bunch of land other than for industrial development. If you did a county IDA, you could buy land and put that in, trying to bring in jobs for economic development purposes. But the CID didn't have that authority.
You're saying the CID, that it is not possible for the land to be titled Castle Rock Community Improvement District?
There could be. For example, if you had a community center that was benefiting the entire district, that single piece, but not the unsold land to be held for future sales, couldn't do that. It'd have to have a public purpose. Just like a church would have to have a public purpose. When I was county assessor, School of the Ozarks had a ton of houses not that were off the tax rolls, but they were rent houses. I put them on because its purpose is what dictates tax exempt.
Is that right? Then I'll see if we can pull the parcels that are under the Community Improvement District names, and we'll see if they're being used. And you're telling me that they have to be for a public purpose.
Correct.
It can't be land that is common land there.
No. For the powers of the statutes under the CID of what a CID can do. A CID cannot be a land marketing company, you know, to hold land and then sell it. It is fair to create public improvements. It's a special taxing district. But now the CID can, and they can have like a community center, you know, like if you had a housing development, you have community centers. That could be if the CID is supporting and paying for that community property. Then, yes, it could, but not land that's held for sale.
I believe this is vacant land that we have, and I think we had attorneys involved in it that went before the Board of Equalization and pulled it, but that's another issue. But that is that's a concern of mine because of past experience with it.
I'm sure what CID can or can't do from it. You know, if somebody tried to do that, it'd be violating state law. But the only powers they have is infest on the property. Mm-hmm.
Can you find those parcels? Mm-hmm. I'd sure like to look at them.
Yeah, they went before the County Board of Equalization.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see those parcels.
Yeah, the attorney asked for 3 years back on them for me.
Okay.
You mean a prior BOE?
Yeah, not this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Did it last year or years before?
Okay. Right. Well, anyway, those are my points, is to the expense to the county. And due to the way the CID is written, this one, it being the only one that is based upon entirely assessed value and in two different areas, as a levy and then as an assessment fee, I think if the county commission is going to find that it's in the best interest of Taney County to establish Castle Rock as a political subdivision, then I would ask that they have in their agreement for the collector to collect the same assessment fee for the assessor's office as they would from other political subdivisions, the schools and so forth, that we do collect. It, since it's based entirely upon the assessed value and the assessor's doing the assessment, and if they decide to do this, I would need that in writing to allow me to do that. And that's what I have. Thank you.
And you say some 3 of their parcels are coming up for tax sale?
11, all of them.
11 are coming up.
And 3 of them I have to take right now. I have to go to a county surveyor because I go to the paper Friday, and I've got to have legals written for that. If I could be assured that they'd be paid, it would save us a few $100s. But
The gentleman that's got the contract to buy it, it's all contingent on getting the CID, so that's kind of a private matter.
Yeah, I realize.
Owners, but
then after he's, okay, your board of directors, I'm assuming they have to be residents. They have to be, I'm sorry, I've lost my word.
Appointed? Appointed, elected?
No. A citizen of the United States. Do your board of directors have to be citizens of the United States?
Well, they all are.
They all are. Do they have to be? When the property sells, if it sells to people from another country, can they be a board of director? Can they be a board director?
As it's currently written, it doesn't exempt a U.S. citizen from, or a non-U.S. citizen from being on the board.
Then I could be from some country like Pakistan or something. I could buy this property and I could be a board director and part of a political subdivision.
That's correct. You could.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
Ron, there was a gentleman here asking me some stuff about it. Were you answered?
Yeah, my questions had more to do with the way you're planning and zoning and
okay.
James, do you have any thoughts or questions regarding this CID?
I've learned a lot here in the last few minutes. I'd like to express some of it. Probably shouldn't.
Then I would.
Yeah, but it makes me feel better about myself.
I heard the county assessor, I'm sorry, the county clerk speaking as the county assessor, and I don't appreciate it one bit. I don't appreciate trying to go through how the assessment process occurs and how things was going on with this CID and all of a sudden pointing the CID toward the assessor and the assessment process. That's not what the CID's about. I do believe that the CID has the same capabilities as a city. They can buy and develop property under the exempt laws until it sells. Yes, they will be exempt. Cities do it all the time. And they're an entity basically set up through taxation. But as far as setting the values of property, the assessor has the ability, and Darrell, I don't know whether you used that ability when you was assessor or not. That's been many years ago. I can set that property out there at agriculture. I can set that property. So when we go to talking developer discounts, when we don't know what we're talking about, that creates an issue that should never be created, should never be a problem.
So those type things, when involvement into this SID in the creation of funding for this SID, they simply come and see what the assessors valued the properties at, then the SID laws take hold. It's nothing to do with the assessor going to do this, this, or this to help in the creation of a SID. Absolutely, positively, nothing. Now, these other issues that was brought up, I see them as being issues, and I didn't understand before I come to this meeting. But I'll just strictly speak to the assessment role. I agree 100% with the collector to say that the assessor has nothing to do and should not receive the 1% collections because it falls in a SID is absolutely ridiculous. We assess the property, we do all these things in the creation, we map, we substantiate maps, and we get paid zero for doing this thing. And I believe this is not correct, and if it is correct, it needs to be changed immediately. And that's basically all I have to say about it. I'm a little reluctant to be full for SIDs as economic development because I can see what problems this SID north of Branson, is all I'm going to say, has caused to the valuation of properties in Taney County, and it has created havoc. As you guys well know, you sit on the board, we see people totally disgusted. They knew the SID was going to be there, but they didn't realize what kind of drain it would bring on their property. And we've seen property values now dropping from 100,000, 130,000, 140,000 in 2 years, dropping to looks like 60,000, 50,000. We don't even know where we're going to set that value at now. But it's not been a positive for valuation in Taney County. A SID has been proven not to be a positive. Not only the disclaimers, but it has absolutely devastated the land value in Branson Hills. And that's just all there is to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Sheila, thank you for your comments. Appreciate that. You brought up a lot of issues that, quite frankly, I hadn't given consideration to. James, you made comment of this property, in fact, being exempt, which is an issue that Sheila brought up, but yet Daryl's answer was that legally they couldn't do that. What I would like, when you retire with Mr. Cotty, Frank, that's an issue that I sure would like to have an answer on regarding tax-exempt status. And if, in fact, you would work with Daryl to answer these questions that we brought up this morning, I think there's a whole plethora of other questions that have been raised that
they
also need to address.
That's part of what I want to know is, I mean, I don't want to give anybody a false sense of hope that they can work through this in the next hour and 15 minutes because Sheila's brought up at least two very, very good points that I want to make sure that we add into this ordinance is to make sure that if we are going forward with this, that we have some more additional restrictions or some more dialogue about it. So I want to make sure that we set the, expectations properly here.
I want to thank the elected officials that came forward. I had called upon you and asked that you provide us with any concerns that you had or information, and you have done that. And quite frankly, I've opened my eyes to a couple of areas that I believe we certainly need to take a hard look at. But Daryl, if you'll retire with sure. Mr. Cotty and work on those other issues that we gave you, I would appreciate that. Bob, if I could have you come forward. I know that we're running 30 minutes behind.
Ross. I'd like to make one comment if I could.
Yes, sir.
There's no way with the questions that's been brought forward that we can entertain this same issue at 12:50 or 1 o'clock or even today. If it's if it's all right with Daryl, I would like to wait and postpone this or have you reschedule it for a later date.
I'd personally like to send some emails to Daryl and say, these are things that have been brought up that I have concerns about,
because your limited time today with the council will be valuable, but it's not going to satisfy our thoughts into these issues.
Then we need all the information before you make a decision.
Right.
I'd rather, if you do another CID, that it becomes a good experience rather than something that you have. Yeah.
Well, my
it's a good tool. It just, it's takes care of some issues.
My reasoning for having you meet with Mr. Cotty was to go over what we had done in executive session, and I want to give these pages to you, Frank, that had our red ink comments on them. Daryl, if you can wait, Donna may have another question for you. She has asked.
I don't have it for Daryl. I just wanted to apologize for implying that the assessor was for or against a SID. That was never my intention. Merely that I have spent a lot of time thinking about the SID this weekend because of the taxpayers who have come before us and are so burdened by taxes that I feel for them deeply. And my comment is strictly because this SID, unlike some others, is best based on assessed valuation. So my only request is that the Board of Equalization, in doing their duty to equalize property, that the developer assessed valuation is the same, if the property is the same, that the assessed valuation be the same within the SID district. And that way, the private individual paying SID taxes is paying the same amount that the developer owning that piece of property with the SID and the SID is paying. If they're paying equal amount of taxes, then I can see that it would be fair. But if the assessed valuation is decreased and it's the same property, I think that the private citizen should not be paying more taxes than the developer. That was my point. I'm sorry if I implied something differently.
Thank you, Donna. Bob, do you want to come up to the microphone?
I got to have a 2 or 3 minute recess here.
We're just going to have to run late. I mean, what we can do is go into lunch.
We can run late.
You want to recess for 5 minutes?
We'll stand in recess for 5 minutes.